Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Rake Basketball Podcast. We're following in the footsteps of the Bulldogs today and eliminating the D entirely. Drake loses a 99-94 bummer of a ball game to the North Dakota State Bison. Coming into this game, North Dakota State had won 8 of their last 9, probably their best wins coming against Southern Illinois. Eduardo, let's get into it, man.
I feel like calling this a sad cast isn't appropriate anymore.
It's a mad cast.
It's a mad cast. There you go. Or a mad cast, you know, to remove the D. It was a really frustrating game. This is by far like the most I've been like screaming at a TV watching a Drake game, I think, like that I can remember in a while. And I also think, you know, to put it in perspective, at least in my opinion, I would say this was our worst performance of the season. And I don't think it's particularly close just because of how bad we were on defense. Because like when you look at, you know, the SIUE game or the Robert Morris game or, you know, some of our other losses, we played well for stretches. And like, is North Dakota State better than those teams? Maybe a little bit better, I would say. But the defense, the lack of focus, the blown assignments, the arrogance of like, I don't think we need to play defense today, was just really frustrating. That's how I all started. How are you feeling?
Not to feel like Nostradamus here, but several episodes ago, I said, like, Eduardo, I feel like the offense will come. But the thing that concerns me about this team right now is the defense. And lo and behold, the defense looks like absolute dog. Like, watching them out there, the intensity or lack thereof is incredibly concerning. It's like, I don't really know where to start, because there's so many things we need to talk about schematically, effort wise. But so I guess the headline for this game is that the Bison buried the Bulldogs from deep, right? So 5 Bison shot better than 50% from 3 in this game, including 5 of 7 from 3 for Trevion Carson, 6 of 7 from 3 from Andy Stanakowicz. And Hendo said in the post game, we didn't make anybody uncomfortable, which is something that we've also been saying all year long, is that like this Drake defense is incredibly reactionary. And when you're reactionary, you're going to end up inevitably being too slow, and you're going to get places late, and teams are going to get open looks, which is essentially what this North Dakota State team was doing all game long. And Drake only turned the ball over 13 times, but North Dakota State converted, getting 23 points off those turnovers. And the lack of intensity, we saw it. I think it's more frustrating based off the fact that we saw that they could play decent defense when they felt like it, matching up against LSU and Georgia Tech down in Destin, and then putting together a continuation of that against Western Illinois. And very clearly they come into this game looking disengaged. I don't know, just the lack of both. I don't want to get into things schematically yet. I want to start with intensity, because I feel like that's something very much that you can control, is how hard you play. And at the end of this ball game, when Drake was trying to come back, they're like, oh, hey, you know what? Like, it's late in the game. I can focus on this for a little bit. Maybe we'll try to get some stops. And I think I texted you when it happened. I was like, and I said, Drake's press is the best thing that they do.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. Like, at this point, that seems to be, like, the only thing defensively that we can do at a high level. The only problem is we only do it late in games when we're trying to stage a furious comeback.
So, I think you had the solve here, which is Drake just needs to become the new VCU. Hendo needs to embrace his inner Shaka Smart and engage the press the whole game, you know? And not even Shaka Smart, because the Davises have a history of full game pressing at Drake as well. So it doesn't need to be a full court press. We can engage the 3-quarter court press like Keno used to. Maybe that's something that will get this squad, get their heads in the game and engage their focus a little bit more, because clearly their ability to lock in the half court is not there.
No, it definitely isn't. And you talked about the 3-pointers for North Dakota State. How many times, like how many wide open shots of those 19 makes, at least, like, honestly, like, at least half of them, and probably another half of, like, a semi-contest. And it's, again, it's the trend of allowing teams to get too comfortable, allowing teams to just get into a rhythm. I mean, I'm surprised they only scored 99. They're on pace to easily score like 115 on us. That's how badly Drake was playing on defense. And it was really only the last like 7-8 minutes of the game, to your point, where it was like, okay, let's try to get some stops and let's see if we can win this game. And I just don't get it. And, you know, we can get into like the scheme and what we're trying to do, but I don't know how to say this other than our defensive IQ as a team is extremely low right now. Like, just very basic stuff. A guy's already hit a couple threes. Hey, maybe let's not go under the screen on that. Like, just maybe we should go over the top on a guy who's already proven to hit a few threes on us. Maybe if a guy is in the corner, Isaiah Carr, you should try to step up and step out to it in the corner. Like, it's just... And to me, that's not even coaching. It's like, you guys have to understand just basic basketball principles. Like, I don't know what's going on.
It's so incredibly frustrating. And I don't know who to,
who blame. To
point the finger at on these things, because it's like, there's some things, it's like, I don't know if that's what the game plan is and they're trying to follow the game plan, or if they're failing to do what they're instructed. Because like you mentioned,
right,
Isaiah and him dropping, and it's like, we've talked all year about how they defend ball screens and how Carr will sag so far back into the lane that there's no possibility of him getting anywhere close to the shooter on recovery. And then when you have the perimeter defender who's being screened going under the screened as well, the result is a shot that is so wide open that it's essentially a practice look.
Yeah, and there was another point in the game where Travion Carson is already in an insane rhythm. He probably was already up to 20 points at that point. And we have Jalen Quinn and Aaliyah out on the floor. And why is Jayshon Thomas defending him? Like, I don't understand. Like, when, again, Jayshon, I think, has proven to be our worst perimeter defender. It's like, why is he guarding the guy who has been killing us all day? It's like, is that coaching? Is that we're not executing what we're supposed to from a game plan perspective? I'm sure our listeners can hear the frustration, and that's the same word that we keep coming to, because God, like, so many plays today we were just texting back and forth, but like, what is happening?
Yeah, a lot of moments in this game that made you scratch their head. And the funny thing is that Drake played well on offense. The Bulldogs shot 52% from the field. They knocked down 14 threes, and they went 26 of 29 from the free throw line. So they made more free throws than North Dakota State attempted, which is almost always a recipe for a victory. But it does not matter if you don't defend. If you let your opponent get buckets at will and you don't take any pride in defending the basket. And I won't say names because he didn't give me permission to, but someone was saying that the Knapp Center used to be a fortress. And It's just insane to see these teams come in here and punk Drake teams like this. And I think you should tell the Amy Stevens story you were telling me.
I was like, which one? Yeah, I get where you're going with that. So, long time ago, when back in my day, when I was a gray squatter defending the Drake women to a very high level, you know, there was a practice where former Drake head coach Amy Stevens just kind of like stopped practice and started lashing out at the team. You know, intensity was down, defense wasn't there. And there was one player on the Drake team, I believe it was Monique Jones at the time, that had actually won a conference title. And Amy Stevens went on a rant like, I don't know what's going on. Like, you guys act like you've been a part of any kind of success. Like, you haven't been, you know, you haven't won anything. You haven't accomplished anything. The only person on this team that has accomplished something is Monique Jones. Everybody else, like, you need to defend. You need to play like your head's on fire because you haven't won anything. So I think you bringing that up, like, yeah, like, ironically, you know, Andrew and Eli got their rings this week from this past season. And I know I wear my Andrew Aaliyah president fan club hat all the time. But honestly, like, when I look at Drake right now, the only guys that compete at a consistent level are Andrew Aaliyah, Jalen Quinn, and Eli. everybody else like is just on and off. And yeah, I don't know what else to add from a why is an effort there? Why are there so many defensive lapses? But I guess I'll ask you before I give you my answer, like on a scale of 1 to 10, what would be your panic meter on where Drake is currently at?
Yeah, right now I'm not at the point where I'm panicked. I'm just pissed.
Well, let me rephrase. When I say panic, what I mean is like on a scale of 1 to 10, what would be your lack of confidence level that they will not win the MVC tournament and make it to the NCAA tournament?
There is still so much season left that I have confidence that this team has the pieces, that if they get their mindset in the right place, they have the pieces there that they can compete for and win an Arch Madness title. But it's going to require them to buy in and to do a whole lot more defensively with a whole lot more intensity and focus than they are now. So it's like, I'm not panicked, and it's like, I'm patient, but it's going to take a whole lot of improvement. To the point of your Amy Stevens story, Drake has been the standard of mid-major basketball since 2000, since DeVries got here in, what was it, 2018?
Yeah, yeah.
But it almost feels like some of the guys who transferred in this year, like, yeah, you know what? Yeah, we're the standard of mid-major college basketball. We can take the defensive game off against North Dakota State. No, you can't. This team has not done anything. You should be going all out against these guys.
Right.
Treat them like you treated LSU. Treat them like you treated Georgia Tech. Because that's what it takes, night in, night out. If you played defense like you played against LSU, your offense would have gotten you the victory tonight. But instead, you coasted until there were 5 minutes left in the game. And as a result, you walked out with the L.
Yeah. Facts. I mean, that's exactly what's happening. And I think the thing that is so annoying is every time this season where I felt like we're making some strides, then we regress immensely. It's like we go back further back than what we advanced in the last couple of weeks. So we went to the Emerald Coast Classic. We played two games at a pretty high level, went 1-1, came back, took care of business against Western Illinois, played a really good game against UAB. I would argue that might have been our best performance of the season. Just couldn't close it out, had a couple, you know, came down to a couple possessions. And then you follow that up with a huge stinker against North Dakota State. So that's, it's annoying. It's frustrating. That should be the title of the pod this week. It's annoying. It's frustrating. But I guess I am definitely a lot more concerned, I think, than you are from a, what's my level of confidence that Drake can still make a run in St. Louis? Because at this point, like, it really feels more like wishful thinking. Like, yeah, like in theory, they should be able to play better defense. But in reality, like, I don't know if they're really capable of it. Like, they haven't shown me, they've shown me some stretches against really good teams. But the consistency is just, God.
I think with me, the reason that I believe in our capability to improve so dramatically is because of the newness of the roster specifically, and also because of how new some of the guys are to playing college basketball, like Aku, how drastically he's improved already in the short amount of time that he's been playing, when really this is his first full season of D1 basketball. And it's like, when you're playing that much for the first time, your rate of improvement and the amount that you can learn and the little things that you can improve on, you can get better so fast. And there's so many little things that, like, you don't fully appreciate or understand until you get those minutes in. And so it's like, it's going to be tough, but, and I'm not picking us. I will say this. I'm not picking us to win the regular season, but
no, I would say everybody has more than 0% chance because you're competing and you're playing in the conference. So statistically speaking, everyone should have more of 0% chance to win the conference. There's no chance Drake is winning the regular season. Like, they just do not have the consistency in what they're doing right now. Now, if you want to sell me on, can they win 3 or 4 games in St. Louis? That I can be more open-minded to.
Yeah, dude, the Valley is garbage this year.
Yes, that does help.
This is objectively, regardless of what Net has us at, real fans know this is objectively like the worst Valley we've seen in a long time. And this Drake roster, while they may not have the mentality or dedication to play defense the way they should right now, talent-wise, it's there. So if they can figure out how to play basketball as a team and get on the same page schematically and stop making some crazy, crazy decisions at times.
I was messaging, shout out to Matt Moran. He referenced like, oh, it's so hard going from McCollum to this defensively. But take it back even further. Like the last 7 years, like Drake had us accustomed to two things. We play defense and we do not lose at the Knapp Center. And these two things are just like completely out the window in the new regime currently. Like, how many games did DeBreeze lose at the Knapp? Like, didn't he lose like 7 games or something stupid like that in 6 years? Like, it was a crazy number.
I think we were tied for the nation's longest home win streak with Houston.
Yeah, like you said, nobody's afraid of playing at the Knapp anymore. We do not have a home court advantage. We've actually played better on the road and in neutral sites than we have at the Knapp Center. Then yeah, it's like the things that we have come so accustomed to seeing from Drake, it's a new regime. And the fundamentals, the defensive fundamentals, like I do think that is coaching. Like that has to be, do we really have to get to a silliness level of like, all right, guys, this week we're not shooting the ball. We're just practicing defensive rotations and defensive principles, because that's what it feels like.
Dude, it honestly does feel a little bit like that, you know? It feels a little bit like Gene Hackman in the first week of Hoosiers. Like, we're going to pass the ball 5 times before we shoot, gentlemen. But with defense, because, I mean, I remember I texted you during one point in the game, and not to call out Eli, because he's usually in the right spot, like almost always. He's one of our better defenders. Yeah. Like, he makes key plays. He has active hands. And he was actually really good today against North Dakota State. He hit some big threes, finished the night with 16 points, going 5 for 8 from 3. So shout out to Eli for that. But yeah, I remember I texted you one play where Wilgen's man was trying to post him up on, we'll say, like the far left block.
Mm-hmm.
And Will had a size advantage on him. So it's like he wasn't going to move him. And Eli was all the way cross court and proceeded to sag probably like 5 feet closer to Will. And the guy who was trying to post up Will, unable to move him, then just like whipped the ball cross court to Eli's man, and Eli's man shot an open 3. And I just texted you. I was like, why is he sagging in to help there? Because A, the guy's not going to be able to move Will, and B, like he's not in position to do anything to help if he does. And it's like, because obviously we talked about how like McCollum prioritizes defensive fundamentals. It's like, I would assume that Shetler is pretty well schooled on those. I would assume he's been doing what he's told from like a fundamental like defensive team schematic standpoint there. It was like, mm-hmm. Why is he sagging in there, you know?
Right. And yeah, I think we've talked about it before, but it is pretty funny that the two guys on our team that have the best defensive fundamentals are probably Andrew and Eli, and they're the two leftovers from the McCollum regime, and then Andrew from DeBreeze as well. And then Jalen's a good defender just naturally, just really it plays aggressively and understands angles really well. But
yeah, Jalen's a great, especially one-on-one defender.
Yeah.
Jayshon gets lost in the sauce away from the ball sometimes.
That's a very generous way to describe it. And we can just leave it at that with Jayshon. But and what happens a lot, and like this has been a consistent theme, like anytime there is an on-ball screen in the perimeter, it's like everyone just like go pray in the corner that we don't, and that the other team doesn't end up with a wide open 3. Like I can't really even explain it, like how badly we mess up like those defensive transitions.
And guys, to be fair, we do need to say this as well. Will was under the weather for this game and played through illness. And Griffin Goodberry didn't play, who's been getting a lot of minutes at five for us.
Yeah.
And obviously he's a lot more agile of a defender than Isaiah Carr. And so the recovery on some of those ball screens with the five man, like maybe he's able to get out and get a hand up on some of those. And so that makes things a lot harder on those rotations as well.
Yeah, no, that's a good call out because Goodberry is easily our best big defender on the perimeter by far. He does a really good job in that regard. Was there any word whether, I know Will was under the weather, I know Griff was under the weather, was Jayshon Thomas also under the weather, or was that a we're inserting Owen into the lineup like just because that's what we're doing from here on out?
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about Jayshon. Will and Griff were the only names that I saw associated with illness, but it's also completely possible that I might have missed it.
Right. And I'm just curious because it makes sense. Like Owen Larson is coming into the fray now. I think we all assume like he could potentially start for Drake. So I'm just wondering, like, is this a, hey, this is like we're inserting him into the starting lineup? Is it a, well, Jayshon was under the weather, so let's put Owen in? I guess we'll find out in the next couple games.
Yeah, and Owen played 21 minutes today. He finished the night with 3 points, had a big three late in the game when the Bulldogs were mounting their comeback, had 5 assists to go along with 1 turnover, so solid ratio there. But what have you thought of Owen's play so far?
Definitely still finding his way. I don't think he's been very impactful on offense. Like, I think he's definitely just like, okay, like if I'm open, I'm going to shoot a three. He doesn't seem very comfortable driving it right now, but that's understandable. I mean, he hasn't played basketball, or he hasn't played in a D1 basketball game in what, like 10 months. I think that's always the hardest thing the thing that takes the longest for it to come back is just the general feel, the driving, the being able to finish through contact. I think sometimes the shooting is kind of the thing that if you're a good shooter, that's going to come the most natural when you come back from injury. So hopefully he keeps kind of getting into that flow. And on defense, he's looked fine. Like, I don't think he's been good or bad. So yeah, he's still working his way back, I would say. But hey, yeah. Another good game from our boy, Andrew Aaliyah, who continues to be, honestly, like Andrew's easily our second best guard right now. I mean, another solid performance, 15 points, 4 rebounds, 4 of 6 from three. He's consistent and he defends, which is not something a lot of guys on our team can say right now. And you touched on Jalen from the jump, another great performance from him, 24 points, 6 assists. I loved how he was attacking today. Like, he had 6 assists and he probably could have had like 10 or 11. Like, guys just missed some bunnies and some open threes that we probably should have hit. I think that's the annoying part. Like, we did play well on offense, like had 22 assists. We out rebounded them. We made 14 threes. We got to the line. And then, you know, we lost.
And can I just say that our drastic improvement on offense is also part of the reason that I hold hope for this team for the end of the season, because like you want to talk about how things can look so night and day for a basketball team. If you think back to Drake at the beginning of this season, they were extremely stagnant on offense, and people throughout the Drake sphere were like, why doesn't anybody move? And to be fair, like there was very little movement. The assist numbers were horrific each game, and it was a very bad looking offensive team. And like, now you're seeing much better ball movement. The ball's finding the open man, shooters are knocking down shots. It's like, okay, yeah, like I can work with this. And so that's an area that we've seen a lot of improvement on. It's been drastic. It's been night and day. And so I'm a believer that we can get things figured out, but in order to fix things, that takes addressing what's wrong. And right now this defense is very wrong. So let's get it taken care of.
Can't wait for them to have a Gene Hackman like week and no one's allowed to shoot. They're just going to work on defensive coverages, defensive fundamentals. Everyone is just going to stand there in a stance the entire week.
Yeah, no balls in practice this week, guys. We're just doing defensive stances.
Oh,
defensive stances and active hands. Get your hands up on shooters. Hands up, hands up. Hand down, man down, guys.
You, by the way, you never asked me what my number was in terms of level of confidence or panic meter level.
How panicked are you, Eduardo?
Concerned whether we would miss the tournament. I like tonight or today felt like an 8 or 9 for me, which is the highest the season has been by far.
Yeah. If we're just talking about chances of missing the tournament, they're the highest that they've been since 2018. But
yeah. Yeah.
But that's not to say that I've lost faith that we can't get it done.
Hey, maybe Hendo's going to turn us into Loyola Marymount and we'll just start scoring 100 points. Because maybe that's the way. It's just funny because 2 weeks ago we were talking about like, yep, nope, the way for us to be successful is for us to win with defense. And then 2 weeks pass and it's like, nope, can't win with our defense. I guess we gotta win with our offense.
No, yeah, Hendo's going to be the new Paul Westhead. Who's our Hank Gathers?
Oh, yeah. Oku? He needs to bulk up.
But yeah, he's going to have to strap on some muscle. Someone get him on that Seth Van Dees diet.
That's all I have on this game. I'm assuming we're not going to dive too deeply into what's coming up, but we have two of our three toughest games of the season right around the corner.
Oh, yeah. Just in case you were wondering, we do have conference play coming up next with arguably one of the favorites for the Valley Crown in Murray State. We'll probably do a individual promo for those once we've cooled down. But this was just to get this out of our systems. And we know y'all are in pain out there, so we wanted to vent with you. So,
yep. It's time for conference play. So, right. Hey, I don't think we've lost at Murray State since they joined the Valley. That's a positive.
Yep. Hey, don't call it a comeback, but the comeback starts now.
The real season starts now.
That's also the takeaway, is that this team, since our first loss of the season in the non-conference, this was never going to be an at-large team. So yeah. None of this matters from an NCAA tournament standpoint. And really, it's just clean slate. Now it's time for a new season. Hey, conference play. And guess what? Once that's over, clean slate. Arch Madness play.
Let's just play all of our games on the road. The Knapp Center just isn't doing it for us this season.
Dude, but think about it. If we struggle more at the Knapp Center, isn't that kind of like a road game? And if we're better on the road...
There you go.
Anyways, thanks for hanging out with us, guys. Appreciate it. Better days are ahead. Probably. Now they are.
Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.